Good afternoon, men. Everyone hear me okay? All right. Well, a few things I want to, cover before I get started here is those of you that know me or those of you that don't, maybe you've heard of me, there's not a doubt in my mind that someone either got an email or walked in today and said, "Wow, Taming the Tongue, Mike LaPoy of all people is going to give that talk." I promise you this, you were no more shocked than I was when God gave me that talk. I'm probably the most inadequate person to give that talk, or give this talk. Sorry. There's no doubt God has a reason for you to be here today to hear me talk about this. But if you can't get past yourself, or if you just can't get past maybe what you know of me or what you've known of me in the past, I'm going to turn around for a minute, and you have my permission to get up and leave. But before you do that, I do ask you to stop and think to yourself, did God bring me here for a reason? Is there something I'm supposed to hear? So the chance is yours, guys. Get up and leave. I think that's you, Ty. Well, I'm glad that there's still a lot of guys in here. I appreciate that. And if you're still thinking that this is a joke listening to me, well, I guess suck it up and listen to me for a while. I'm going to share with you some interesting facts, first of all, on the human tongue. Your tongue plays a more important role than just tasting stuff. Without it, you can't eat, you can't spit, you can't kiss, and you can't speak. Not only is it the strongest muscle in the body, but it's the only muscle that is connected at only one end. Every single tongue, just like your thumb, has its own unique print that matches just you. Your tongue is also made up of mainly skeletal muscle, and there are over 10,000 taste buds on the surface of your tongue, which gives you the ability to taste the difference between sweet, salty, sour, or bitter. Unfortunately, your tongue is also the primary cause of your bad breath. See, food gets trapped between those little taste buds and starts to rot. So if anyone ever says to you, "Hey, do you mind breathing through your nose?" Let that be your hint. You need to brush your tongue a little bit when you brush your teeth. The tongue is capable of so much good, but it can also destroy. The tongue has the destructive power, an inflammatory power in human relationships. The misuse of words can create a firestorm that will burn and scorch everyone who hears it. In 1 Peter 3:10, we're instructed, "Whoever would love his life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech." If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. In James 3, 5 and 6, a great and vast forest can be set on fire and destroyed by the tiniest of sparks. The tongue is also a fire, a word of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person and it sets the course of his or her life on fire because it is itself set on fire by hell. James 3, 7 through 8, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed on a daily basis by man, but not a single man is capable of taming his own tongue. James 3, 8 through 12, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who are made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. This shouldn't be, guys. Summing up what James said, the uncontrolled tongue is a pipeline from hell. It can increase the flames of hell, but it can also be used for correction, instruction, and encouragement. I ask you, what do you use your tongue for? Do you gossip? The words of gossip are like choice morsels that go down into a man's inmost parts. You can find that in Proverbs 18:18. It can be seen in many forms. Have you heard that? Did you know that? They tell me, hey, keep this to yourself, but I don't believe this is true, but I heard that, hey, I wouldn't tell you, but I know it won't go any farther. Now, of course, as Christian men, we wrap these little stories up in a nice little bow by telling people, now I'm only telling you this so that you'll pray for Mike and that you'll ask that God would restore his life. Innuendo is another form. It could come in the form of a raised eyebrow, an awkward silence, a quizzical look, a roll of the eyes, or maybe just a simple nod of the head. How does that make you feel when someone does it to you? Flattery. The art of saying something to a person's face that you would never say behind their back. Wow, Joe, you're a great Christian man. You have such a knack for finding the fault in other people and raising it to the small group's attention so that they could pray for that person. I like to think of flattery as kind of a backhanded compliment. In the book of Proverbs, we're instructed, whoever flatters his neighbor is spreading a net for his feet. The lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruin in a life. Proverbs 26:28. Criticism. We all know what criticism is. I don't have a list of those because I think you can rattle through probably within the last 24 hours of just one way you criticized someone. Or diminishment. Speaking against or down to another person. In the book of James, where we find great instruction on the use of our tongue and speech, we are instructed to never, under no circumstances, whether it is true or false, use speech that will run down another man. We all understand as Christians, we all understand that Christians should never slander. That is making a false charge against another's reputation. So what about the following? Is it wrong to pass along damaging truth? Is it okay to run down another person face to face? Or is that your gift? Fault finding. Many people, including myself at times, believe that that's a spiritual gift. What are your greatest gifts? Maybe they're weaknesses. The standard is the Word of God. So whatever your gifts are, I challenge you to line those up with the Word of God. It'll make it clear if it's a gift or a weakness. Do you talk too much? Do you pass along things about others and take joy in that? Do you say to someone's face what you would absolutely never say to them if they weren't standing there? Do you have the gift of a sharp tongue? Do you elevate or diminish people? Your friends, your wife, your children, your grandchildren, with the words that you say? On March 19th, Brent Kohick made some statements that I've adopted for my life. Discipline is not for the easy days. It's for the time of trial. I believe that applies to our tongue. And how I live my life may have eternal consequences to others. Do you know what your major faults are? I believe if we really stop and think, we all know what our major faults are. It was a cold Friday night in February. Many families were attending a wrestling meet in a small Midwest town. As it goes with most wrestling meets, there are often long times in between the individual matches. On one such night, a father patiently waited for his son to get a second match. As time went on, the boy began to get discouraged, as did the father. They both sat and watched as other athletes got a second, and even some, a third wrestling match. As the boy sat with his peers, the father returned to the bleachers to join his wife. Upon his arrival, one of the other parents said, "Welcome to the wrestling club, where some kids get to wrestle repeatedly and others sit and wait and wait." Then one wife blurted out, "My husband had to go talk to the coaches at the last meet to remind them that our boy hadn't wrestled in over 2 hours." The negative talk and criticism of the individuals running the matches went on for some time. Finally, the father had enough. He walked across the gym to his son and asked, "Has the coach been back to see you yet?" "No, Dad. They keep letting other kids wrestle. And I've asked the coach a few more times and he keeps telling me just to sit down and wait." At that moment, the father, frustrated, angry, I believe he was just pissed off. He approached one of the coaches and asked for an explanation as to why some boys were getting multiple matches and others were overlooked. The coach tried his best to have good excuses. The father used some choice language, both verbal and nonverbal, expressing his disgust with the coach and his excuses. At that moment, he turned to his son and said, "Come on, if they can't understand that you're here to learn a sport and to participate, you don't need them. We don't need them. Let's get out of here." Upon hearing this, another coach overheard and approached the dad and said, "What's going on? Are they passing your son up?" And the father said, "Yes." He said, "Well, we'll get him a match." Within 10 minutes, the boy was on the mat awaiting his next opponent. After completing the match, the boy went over to his mom for a congratulatory hug and a kiss. The father, feeling pretty convicted, stayed after to apologize to the coaches. He apologized for his actions, and they all said, "Don't worry about it. It's no big deal." One of them even said, "I've done that several times myself. I know what it's like." The father stopped and said, "Maybe that is true, but that's not how I want to live my life. That's not how I want to be known." See, the father had lost his temper, and he asked those coaches for forgiveness. One of the coaches stepped forward and said, "I'll be honest with you, it is part of the camp, part of the club. Your first or second year, the kids get overlooked a lot. It's just the way it is." The father, still feeling guilty, said, "It doesn't matter. It's not how I should act." 5 days later, the man was attending a Christian gathering, and a friend approached him and said, "I heard about your actions on Friday night. I heard you lost your temper. Ricky told me all about it." "Well, you see, guys, the story's about me. The Christian event was Huddle. I know my faults. I know my greatest weakness is losing my temper. And it matches up really well with losing my tongue. I'm fairly confident that Ricky didn't tell the other men so that they could pray for me for what I had done. Maybe he did. But I know the man that approached me at Huddle said, 'I've been praying for you, brother. We share in that struggle, and I understand what it's like.' I believe my friend brought this to my attention for accountability, to instruct, to encourage, and to lift me up, but most importantly, to hold me accountable. The power of spoken prayer, whether it's heard in prayer or heard in person or not, it doesn't matter. And I want to share with you guys an example of how you can bless another person. Bear with me if the sound quality isn't the best. It's their fault, not mine.
God, I was just thinking about Amber today, and I want to lift her up in prayer this morning. I just want to thank you for her and for bringing her back into my life. I'm so grateful for that, and I'm so happy to have a newfound friendship and a better friendship now than what we had in high school, I think. So I just thank you for her. I praise you for making her such a bold Christian, and I just want to pray that she has a great day today, and if she's at work, that everything she does, that she knows that you've given her and that you flow through her hands on every patient that she takes care of. And if not, if she's at home, that she knows that she's a wonderful mother and a great wife and that she works really hard to take care of her family. And I just pray that all the things that she's involved in between blush and work and her kids and Purely Prom coming up, that she's just a servant of yours, Lord, and I just want her to know how truly thought of and blessed and how appreciated she is, and I just want to lift her up to you today and ask that you bless her continuously all day long and throughout the rest of her week. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hope you have a great day, Amber. Bye.
I think that's a pretty neat blessing that my wife received last week before she went to work one day. We all have the power to do that, to pick up a phone, and if the person doesn't answer, pray for them on the phone. It's a blessing. I've had the same thing for me, and it's odd, but I always receive the message at just the right time when I need it. So I challenge you, men, do the same thing for someone. Do it before the end of the day today. Step out of your comfort zone, call someone and pray for them. We must ask God to cauterize our lips and confess all that we have said. We must pray continually that God will give us strength to allow only clean and edifying words to flow from our tongue. We must discipline ourselves. And these aren't all on your outline, but if you've got a pen, maybe jot down a few scriptures for you to look at on your own. Speak the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15. Refrain from gossip, Proverbs 16:28, 17:9. In 26:20, refrain from flattery or the backhanded compliment. Proverbs 26:28, refrain from running down someone else. James 4:11, refrain from degrading humor. Ephesians 5, verse 4. Refrain from sarcasm. Proverbs 26, 24 through 25. To memorize scripture that will teach the proper use of the tongue is a great way to equip yourself. In Matthew 12:35-37, the good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil from the evil stored up within him. But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word you and I have spoken. For by your words we will be acquitted, and by our words we will be condemned. I'm giving every one of you in this room the permission to stab me in the front, not in the back. If I do something that's inappropriate, if I say something in a manner that's inappropriate, that's damaging, hurtful to someone else or to you, if I pass along gossip, stab me in the front, don't leave and go tell someone else what I did. Hold me accountable right then and there for what I've done. You have the permission. Take action if needed. One last story that was in our study book. Many of you may not know this, and most of you have probably heard of the Boxer Revolution. In 1899, four reporters from Denver met by chance on a Saturday night in Denver at a railroad station. Al Stevens, Jack Turney, John Lewis, and Hal Wilshire. They worked for four different Denver newspapers, the Post, the Times, the Republican, and the Rocky Mountain News. Each had the unbelievable task of finding the big scoop for the Sunday edition. They were all hoping, waiting for a celebrity to get off the train that they could have something to write about. But no one showed up. What would they do? They went ahead, went to a nearby saloon, and started to discuss different options on what they could do. A phony local story made no sense. It would be found out to be false too easily. They needed to come up with a whopper, something that could not be proven locally. Harold wasn't sure the story was believable, but they discussed seeing a group of American engineers who were on their way to China. They were bidding on a major project to tear down the Great Wall of China to invite foreign trade. By 11 p.m. that night, the four reporters had worked out the details, and the next morning, all four Denver papers carried the amazing story. Great Chinese Wall is doomed. Peking seeks world trade. Of course, the story was ridiculous. It was a tall tale made up by four opportunistic men. But amazingly, their story was taken seriously, and before long it ran in the U.S. papers and abroad. When the citizens of China heard the Americans were sending over a crew to dismantle their Great Wall, they were indignant, they were enraged. No one stopped to ask, is this true? Is it just a story? They took it as truth. The word that they read and they heard, they took it into their souls and they ran with it. Many of the Chinese patriots moved to action. Hundreds of missionaries from abroad were murdered. And the next 2 months, 12,000 troops from six different countries worked together and had to invade China to invaded China to protect their countrymen. The bloodshed of that time, born out of a journalistic hoax, was fabricated in a saloon by four men, and it was known as the Boxer Rebellion. Our words have amazing power for good and for evil. The choice is yours, men. What are you going to do with the words you speak? It won't be perfect every time, but you have the opportunity, as do I, to use times like this to cauterize my lips and to call to action the need for speaking edifying words. Lord God, I thank you for the men that are here today. Lord God, you know how inadequate I am. But I thank you for challenging me to give this talk, because God, there's no doubt I need it as much as more or anyone else. I thank you for the work that you're doing in my life. I ask you to bless the men that are here. Help it to sink in. If one man here today, Lord, can apply something that they have heard to their life, then it was a victory. I thank you, God. I love you, and I ask you to bless these men and their families and all that they do. Amen.